Remember 1965, the Rolling Stones? I can't get no, na na na, what was it? Yes, I can't get no satisfaction. Yeah, that became one of the top hits of all time, and it was almost prophetic. You see, if the enemy can get you to be dissatisfied, what kind of temptation, what kind of bait will he use? Is it complicated? Pretty simple, just to get you to feel dissatisfied.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Have you ever read the passage of Scripture where Jesus was tempted? Well, today Pastor Wayne will show us that one of Satan's best weapons against us is to cause us to become dissatisfied, like Eve in the Garden of Eden. We've been given so much, and yet we're not satisfied. We want that one fruit that is forbidden. Today, Pastor Wayne has some words of wisdom that will keep us from falling into that trap. Here he is with a message entitled Contentment.
Today we're going to talk about the devil trying to tempt God himself. I mean, if you were the devil and you were going to try to tempt God, you'd have to pull out all the stops, wouldn't you? You'd have to figure out the best tactics. You'd have to figure out the way to use smoke, some mirrors, and all your best technique, because you're going to try to tempt God himself. Well, that's exactly what the devil did in Luke chapter 4. We're going to read it together in today's verse. So we'll read the first couple of verses, and I'll read the rest of the story. So let's read it at the top. Would you read it with me? Go. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they had ended, he became hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell the stone to become bread." And let me continue. And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." And he led him up and showed him all of the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "I will give you all of this domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me to give to whomever I wish." Therefore, he said, "If you will worship me, it shall all be yours." Jesus answered him and said, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." And a third time, the devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you'll not strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered and said to him, "It is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the devil had finished every temptation, he left him until a more opportune time. Interesting story. He said to the Son of God, "Are you hungry? Turn these stones to bread." And Jesus said, No, I'm all right." "Well, hey, you're hungry, aren't you? Can't you turn this to bread? Look at you. If you're the Son of God, why are you still poor? Why are you still hungry? You're the Son of God. I can give you all of the kingdoms of this world. All the riches was given over to me to give to whomever I wish. What do you think?" The Lord says, No, I don't think so. You're the Son of God, you still are poor. You're the Son of God, you still don't have the house you want. Son of God, you've got nothing. And he takes him to the top of the pinnacle of the temple and says, "Throw yourself down." The Lord says, "No, you'll not put the Lord to a test." He says, "You're the Son of God, and you're not even protected." Isn't that dissatisfying? You're the Son of God, and you're still hungry. You're the Son of God, and you're still poor. Look around. Look at you. Isn't this dissatisfying? Let me tell you, the bottom line of what the devil tried to do, his tactic, to try and tempt the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Here it is. And the same is what he'll do with you and with me. It's not that complicated. No, it's actually very simple, but very, very workable. It works. And here it is. The devil's bottom line to tempt you and me is to get you to feel dissatisfied with what you have. Write that down. To get you to be dissatisfied with what you have. I'm not satisfied. Remember 1965, the Rolling Stones? I can't get no, na na na. What was it? You are old. I can't even remember that. Oh, yes, I can. Sorry. But I was in first grade or something back then. Yes, I can't get no satisfaction. Yeah, that became one of the top hits of all time. And it was almost prophetic. I can't get no satisfaction. You see, if the enemy can get you to be dissatisfied, that's what this whole temptation is about. If he's going to tempt the Son of God himself, what kind of temptation, what kind of bait will he use? Is it complicated? Pretty simple. Just to get you to feel dissatisfied with what you have. And when you're dissatisfied, then we'll play into his hand. The very same temptation he used with Eve in the garden. He came to Eve as a snake. Now, Eve could eat any fruit in the whole garden, in the whole world, except one, just one, one. Why do you think God said that? Because it would give her choice. Without that, she would not have choice. Now, she has a choice whether she's going to obey or not. And so God put that choice there. It says, now make sure that you use your choice wisely, that you will choose to obey God. But she could eat any fruit in the garden. And the snake comes over and says, Eve, look at that, whatever it is, you know, apple. Can you eat it? She said, no, the Lord said I could eat any except that one. And the devil says, isn't that dissatisfying? You can't do nothing in this garden, can you? You can't do what you want to do. Isn't that dissatisfying? Doesn't that bug you? Isn't it the pits that you can't eat that one apple? You can't do what you want to do. And she thought about it and she said, yeah, why can't I do what I want to do? And she took that and ate it. And that began the downfall of man. You see, you think about it. The devil's bottom line is to get you to feel dissatisfied right where you're at. Dissatisfied about your marriage. Dissatisfied about your life. He used the same temptation on the people of Israel coming out of the desert. Now remember, they're going through the desert to the promised land, and they have God's provision, they have God's protection, and they have God's presence in the Shekinah glory. And what did they start to do? They started to what? Complain. They complained and complained and complained. And the Bible says this in Numbers 11:1. Would you read it with me out of your notes? Read it with me. Go. Now the people became like those who complain of adversity in the hearing of the Lord. Were they in adversity? No. They had God's provision, his presence, his protection. Now they may not have had first class seats on Hawaiian Airlines, but they were fine. And they were dissatisfied. You see, if the enemy can get you to feel dissatisfied, then you'll fall. And sometimes we don't even know what we're dissatisfied about. Everything is pretty good. We're fine. The children of Israel were fine. There's a story of this guy who didn't know why he was dissatisfied. He was a customer in the restaurant, and he was just irate. And he called the waiter over. Hey, he said, it's just too hot in here. It's just too hot. Are you hot? He says, okay, I'm sorry. Well, turn that air conditioner down up a little bit so it gets a little cooler. He said, excuse me. So he goes and disappears in the back room, comes back. How's that? Better. And a little while later, he says, hey, It's cold. It's too cold in here. He said, I'll be right back. And he disappears and he comes back. That better? We'll see. We'll see. After a while, he says, hey, it's hot again. It's hot. What's the matter with you? So let me go back there. And he ran back and he came back. And he says, finally, this guy says, oh, I'm going to leave. And so he gets up, pays his bill. Now, there's another customer watching this guy. And when he leaves, he calls the waiter over and he says, you're just like the most patient person I have ever seen. I would have nailed this guy on the head long ago. Man, you went back there 4 or 5 times. He says, oh, it's okay. I deal with these kinds of customers all the time. He says, but you're so patient. And the guy's dissatisfied, and yet you're so patient. He says, oh, no, it's all right. He says, I'll tell you a secret. What? He says, I'll tell you a secret. We don't even have air conditioning in here. Sometimes people are dissatisfied and they don't even know why. But you see, Madison Avenue advertising tries that. You'll see that the advertising realm of our world, one of their goals is to get us to feel dissatisfied. That you have last year's model, dissatisfying. Your clothes are out of style, dissatisfying. Your car's out of date. Your job doesn't pay as much. And then we become dissatisfied with our role or our friends. Our house isn't as good as it should be. My wife's out of date. I got to get a newer model. As one man said, mine has bags and sags and nags. And I want one with nerves, curves, and purrs. Sure. I remember, like, you know, thinking, you know, I'll tell you this. I was speaking at a church and on the mainland, and there was this ladies' Bible study going on of over 65-year-old ladies. It was this, you know, golden age Bible study. And one of these ladies came out and she said, oh, I've read all your books. You're Wayne Cordero. And she says, oh, and you're so handsome, she said. I said, oh, yeah. And so I was doing some stuff with the multimedia. Well, she went away and I said, I can't believe it. It's not the young ones that say that anymore. It's the ones over 65. And this is what there's a young guy in the multimedia truck. He looked at me and said, you haven't looked in the mirror lately, have you? So that, boom. Yeah, we forget. You know, sometimes we want the younger model. We forget what we're starting to look like. Like the old story of this guy, he and his wife are about, 60 years old, and their birthdays are right in the same week, and so they would always go on a vacation or a little trip to celebrate their birthdays, and the story goes where they were going on the shore there, the Bahamas, and they found this genie's lamp, you know, and so this genie comes out and says, it's both of your birthdays, so I'm going to give you one wish each. She said, oh, this is wonderful. She said, my wish is that we have a beautiful cabana out by the ocean for a week. All of a sudden, whoosh, beautiful cabana right on the ocean with waiters there and their food, gourmet food. and her husband was looking at all these scantily clad bikini women on the beach. And he said to the genie, come over here. You know what I'd like for my birthday? Yeah, I want a wife 30 years younger than me. Poof, he was 90 years old. That'll teach him. But we always get dissatisfied with what we have. But you see, that's the same temptation. That's the same thing that the devil used to tempt the Son of God. And listen, if you're going to tempt God himself, you're going to pull out all the stops. It's not complicated, though. It's very simple. But it works to get you to be dissatisfied with who you are, how you look. The white hair is starting to come out. or your financial inability, or you don't have as much as the guy down the road, or I'm a little bigger than or thinner than, and it just gets you to be, doesn't matter, just dissatisfied, because one person says, I'm too thin, the next guy says, well, I'm too big. It just, and then you get too big, the thin person gets too big, and they want to go thinner, and the others want to go the other way. Someone is in a big house, I want a smaller house. Someone's smaller house, I want a bigger house. Someone wants a Toyota, the guy driving a Toyota wants a Chevy. The guy driving a Chevy wants something else. And if the enemy can keep us dissatisfied, we're that close to being tempted. Marriages get dissatisfying. People are dissatisfied. Oh, I don't like this church. I don't like this island. I don't like this. And we're that close. And then you begin to make dumb decisions. He said, well, Wayne, how do we prepare for those times when the enemy comes in those opportune moments and gets us to be dissatisfied with where we are, who we are? How do you prepare for that? Here's the thing is, you don't prepare for it when it hits you. These things you've got to prepare for well in advance when they're not, you don't even smell them coming. I remember training for a long distance race, and my coach came to me, and it was out in the ocean, it was an Ironman for 2.5 hours. You're just paddling. And he said, now, Wayne, the sun's going to be beating down on you, and you're going to have one of these camelback things on your back, like a backpack with water in it, with a little hose. And he says, now, watch your clock every 15 minutes. I want you to take that and take some, you just gulp down 2 or 3 swallows. I said, every 15 minutes, he said, watch your clock and drink right on that on the money. I said, yeah, but within 15 minutes, I ain't thirsty yet. He said, no, watch your clock, and at 15 minutes, you drink. I said, why should I drink if I'm not thirsty? He looked me straight in the eyes, and he said, if you wait until you're thirsty before you drink, it's too late. Your body has already gone into dehydration, and when you drink, it won't replenish you fast enough. You're already going into dehydration, and you're behind the eight ball. You drink it 15 minutes, every 15 minutes. And I thought, how true it is with life. You can't wait until you're thirsty in your marriage, hungry in your life, before you prepare for these kinds of hits by the enemy, because he'll be there. And if you think, okay, well, what do I need to do to answer him and get out of this mess? It's too late. You've got to prepare for these well in advance. You know, this is so funny. I'm just amazed that there's a certain group of people that are marriage experts. They don't need any advice on conflict resolution. They are just the most experienced, most veteran people who know everything about marriage and everything about love life and family raising. You know who they are? People just about to be married. They're engaged and they have stars in their eyes. And I say to them, now, let's talk about conflict. We don't fight. We've never fought. I said, you will? Oh, no, we just love each other. I said, good. You're going to hate each other in a little while. But I said, no, we don't need any of that stuff. Because you see, we have so much love. We'll never have to fight. Well, we just love each other. You know, stars in their eyes. So just sit down and prepare now. Oh, no, we don't need to prepare because we'll never go through it. It's kind of like, would you teach an Eskimo what to do in a forest fire? Oh, no. Would you teach an NBA basketball player how to handle short people jokes? No. Would you have to teach a paque how to hold on to money? No. You don't need to teach me. But when they hit the skids, it's too late. And that's when things fall apart. To prepare for these times when the enemy comes, you've got to prepare for them well in advance. Some years ago when I was in Sri Lanka, when the tsunami hit, I noticed that whole towns were wiped out because the homes were built right on the ground. No foundation. And I mean to tell you, it was like a table wiped clean where there was once 4,000 or 5,000 people, maybe 1,000 homes, completely wiped out, wiped clean. But as I drove along the shore, I noticed there was a hotel. The hotel was damaged, and some of it was actually washed away. But still, they're holding this hotel up right on the ocean now. And that wasn't even where the other homes were that were wiped out. This one was right in the face of the tsunami on the ocean itself. But yet, it was still standing. Why? Because if you look under the hotel, there are pilings that are driven into the depths of the earth, maybe 100 feet deep, pilings. And those pilings have to have been set in deep before the tsunamis came. When the tsunami comes and you try to drive a piling, it's too late. When the enemy comes and nails you and gets you feeling dissatisfied, if you don't have pilings driven deeply in your life, you will fall. It's too late. Well, I'll drink when I'm thirsty. It's too late. You will have already gone into dehydration. So you say, all right, well, what are the pilings that I need to drive deeply? I'm going to give you three pilings that Jesus had already driven deeply. It's sort of like NBA basketball players. When the whistle blows, and the ball is tossed in the air, and that jump, that center jump starts to start the game. When that referee blows the whistle, these guys, it's too late if they don't know the plays. It's too late for them to train their bodies to withstand the tension and the tests of the game, the endurance that they would need. As soon as the whistle blows, it's too late to develop endurance for the game. You have to have built that long before the whistle even blew. Now, there's going to be times in your life and mine where that whistle's going to blow. You're going to hit the skids. You're going to have a financial setback. And you're going to run to counseling and say, I need help. It's too late. You've got to back it up and start driving these pilings long ago. Because when the tsunami hits, not if, when, you will be fine. But when did you drive the pilings? When the tsunami hit? Mm-mm. When the sirens went off? Mm-mm. It starts now. So, what are the three pilings? Number one, when the enemy came after Christ and nailed him with temptations, every time the Lord said after he tempted him, what do you think? He said, it is written. Write that down. It is written. In other words, he's saying you need to stay close to God and his word. Would you write that in? Stay close to God and his word. That's what Psalm 65 and verse 4 says. Let's read it together. Go. We will be satisfied with the goodness of your house, your holy temple. Let me ask you this. It says, we will be satisfied with the goodness of your house, your holy temple. That's what will satisfy me is when I'm in your house, as it were, close to you. Then you will not be so quick to be dissatisfied. I know that when I'm starting to get dissatisfied with my lot in life, with my family, with my wife, I'm never dissatisfied with her. She's probably with me. But when I get dissatisfied with my kids, No, when I'm starting to get dissatisfied with stuff, my car's not good enough, this is not good enough, that's not good enough, nothing good enough, I know that somewhere I have been being separated from the Word of God. I'm somehow drifting from God's Word. That's why the very first thing the Lord said, it is written. He's saying a piling that you have to drive deeply before you get nailed with the temptation that caused Eve to fall and so many others to get you to feel dissatisfied when you're not really. You're not really in adversity. But to be able to handle that when the storm hits, the piling that has to have been driven long ago is it is written to stay close to God and his word. I know when I'm not close to God and his word because I start to get dissatisfied. And you will too. You just start to get dissatisfied with stuff. It's like a low-grade fever. Just dissatisfied. So what do you do?
Well, how's that for a place to end? But that's all the time we have for today's program. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. You've been listening to part one of a message entitled Contentment by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
Hi, this is Wayne Cordero. There's a brand new church starting up, New Hope West, right on our beautiful Bible College campus in Eugene, Oregon. It's time for the Word of God to live in each of us in a way that'll change our lives and the world in which we live. So join us at New Hope West on our Bible College campus, 2155 Bailey Hill Road in Eugene, Oregon. Two services, 9 and 11 a.m. We'll see you there.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.